This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody, to a breaking news edition of the Junkyard Dogcast. I'm your host, Jordan Hill. Got Ben Wolk with us on this Thursday morning to talk about quarterback. Georgia has gone out and gotten that fourth scholarship quarterback that they desperately wanted before the 2024 season. They get former Arizona State quarterback Jaden Rashada. Rashada and his family have been in Athens to start this week, get a chance to get a feel for what it would be like to be a Bulldog, get a chance to check some stuff out. And they decided all systems go. The day that is also the first day of the NFL draft, Jaden Rashada has decided he's going to be a Georgia Bulldog. Ben, I'm going to throw it to you. What's your immediate reaction to Georgia landing Jaden Rashada and what this means for both parties with him getting ready to be a Bulldog?
Well, I think as we've said and written about over at Dogs 24/7, like this is how things have been trending really since his name got linked to the portal, even before he officially announced that he was in fact going into the portal, that once he became an option, a quarterback option in the portal, there were a few reasonable landing spots, and Georgia was probably the most obvious of the group because of how loud Kirby Smart and honest Kirby Smart had been about Georgia's need to get to a fourth quarterback. And everything that we'd heard from behind the scenes was that Georgia was going to do whatever it could in this spring period to get that fourth quarterback. They ultimately did that in the form of Jaden Rashada. I think it, like you said, I think it makes a lot of sense for both parties. For Georgia, it gets you a quarterback who's not expecting to start, which might raise some eyebrows for some folks when his name first went into the portal and Georgia's name was getting thrown out there. I think those that weren't totally clued in might have said, Georgia, Jaden Rashada, like, where does that come from? We can get to that in a second. But I think that he's not expecting to start year one, so it gives him an opportunity to sit back and develop. It gives Georgia the opportunity to have a little bit of a competition with Ryan Puglisi being banged up. This spring, you really don't know exactly what his health is going to look like going into the year. And he didn't have many reps in the spring to be able to get prepared to be that depth piece as well. So now Gunnar Stockton, Jaden Rashada, they can serve that QB2, QB3 role. I'm sure there will be a lot of conversation over the next 12 months talking about, you know, who's who and who should be in what position in that competition. And really for this 2024 season, none of that really matters. It matters that they both are going to be getting a lot of work in that room, and Georgia has the depth in case, you know, should anything go wrong with Carson Beck, that they have multiple options there in that quarterback room. So I think it makes a lot of sense for Georgia. And then on the Jaden Rashada side of things, I think people might have questions. Where are his priorities? What's important to him? And I think him making this decision makes it very obvious exactly what matters to him. I mean, I think that because of all of the narratives out there, when he flipped from Miami to Florida and then signed with Florida, but didn't end up enrolling or didn't really get into spring at all because of, you know, issues related to potential NIL with Florida. And so he ended up at Arizona State, where his dad went to school and where he was able to, you know, pair with a really good offensive mind in Kenny Dillingham. And he played a little bit as a freshman and then got hurt. And I think that when he entered the portal, a lot of people were saying, you know, oh, this guy's a transfer. Like, he's a portal merchant. He's always in the portal. He is always looking for something that's bigger or better. And I really believe that his situations have all been a matter of circumstance when it came to things not being followed through with at Florida, when it came to he gets hurt at Arizona State, and then there's really, you know, the school switches conferences and he's, you know, sort of not sure where he stacks up and everything. And there's opportunity out there for him at a place like Georgia. For him to want to come to Georgia for the 2024 season, knowing that he's going to be sitting behind a guy like Carson Beck, not being any given any guarantees in terms of what's going to happen with the, you know, what we assume is the future quarterback battle with Gunnar Stockton next year, you know, he clearly is coming to Georgia for a couple of reasons. And that's one, getting the development that he feels like he needs, being at a program that is of the caliber that he wants to be at. I mean, he wanted to be at an SEC program out of high school, and now he's getting the opportunity to do that in year two. And I don't think that it always looked like that was going to be the case. And, you know, he's, I think, probably welcoming a little bit, being able to kind of sit in the shadows at Georgia for a year, not have his name be associated with buzz. And, you know, he's getting thrown out there immediately in the Arizona State season. And obviously everybody is microscoping what's going on, how he's performing, what do his stats look like when he goes down, is he actually hurt, you know, all these things. And I think there's so many bad narratives, incorrect, false narratives out there about him, that I think coming to a place like Georgia where he knows that he's going to be under the radar for the next year is something that he probably welcomes, and it gives him the opportunity to develop in Georgia's system and get comfortable in an offense. And so I think when you really look at what everybody's wants and needs were during this process, it makes a ton of sense to me, even though I know when he initially entered the portal and Georgia was linked to him, there were a lot of people out there that raised questions. I really think it made a lot of sense the whole time for everyone.
Rashada, 6'4", 185, played in three games as a freshman there at Arizona State, former four-star prospect. Ben, what do you like about Rashada's game? You know, what do you think he brings just as a quarterback? I saw some of the highlights, and I'm looking forward to in the next few days really watching and writing some content about his game. But just what do you think it is about him that, you know, made him a four-star in the first place and made it a big deal when he signed with Florida? And then when he didn't go to Florida, you know, this was a guy that a lot of players, you know, a lot of fans and a lot of teams across the country followed closely, especially once he wound up going to Arizona State.
Well, I think you don't have to look very far to see what Georgia is kind of looking for from its quarterbacks these days. I mean, you look at Carson Beck, 6'4", you know, 190, 200 pounds, big, pretty big arm. You look at Ryan Montgomery, 6'3", 6'4", 200 pounds, pretty big arm. Jaden Rashada is just another example of that. I mean, you know, we talk a lot about the offensive line and how Stacey Searles has a type. He likes, you know, 6'6", 6'8", 330 pounds. I think at quarterback, I mean, Mike Bobo has a type that he certainly is looking for. And I think that Jaden Rashada fits that. I think that similarly to Carson Beck and similarly to Ryan Montgomery, there is a fluid way with which Jaden Rashada plays the quarterback position. He looks very comfortable there when he's throwing the football. He has, you know, the ability to throw from different arm angles, and he just looks pretty natural out there as a thrower. And again, there's a reason that he was as highly touted as he was. There's a reason why the Miami Florida recruiting battle for Jaden Rashada was as competitive as it was. And that's because he has a lot of upside as a passer. I mean, his arm talent is certainly there. And, you know, I think that, again, because of all the narratives that have been out there about him, I think a lot gets lost in terms of, like, what drives him from a football standpoint, what's important to him, and how he is wired as a football player. And I think that the savvy between the ears as a quarterback is something that I've heard really good things about with Jaden Rashada. And I think that getting into a place where he can just focus on all of that and he doesn't have to focus on all the other stuff is really you know, really important for him. And so I think what's amazing, you know, he's got 4 years left. So he was a 2023 quarterback, but because of injuries last year, he's essentially coming in now as a class of 2025 quarterback. Like him and Ryan Puglisi are in the same boat when it comes to eligibility, or he was a 2023 quarterback. He's essentially coming in like a 2024 quarterback. I mean, him and Ryan Puglisi have the same eligibility left. They're sort of coming in on a level playing field. And so in essence, you know, Georgia lost Dylan Raiola last fall. They basically were still able to bring in a two quarterback class with 4 years of eligibility. And so I think what's, you know, most interesting about Jaden Rashada is there's a lot of time for him to get to the level of quarterback that people kind of expect him to be. And I think that sometimes just as a whole in this business, in this industry, fans, whoever it might be, they like to, you know, see one game or see one thing or hear one story. And now that's the legend of that player. And I think that Jaden Rashada's story is not even written yet because he has as much eligibility left to play college football as some guys that have never played a snap or never even been in for fall practices yet.
I think that's a great point. And to me, you know, it's something we've sort of followed, and I think we've talked about this on the podcast. You know, this was sort of set up for Georgia going back to the 2023 cycle when they pushed and put all their eggs in the Arch Manning basket. They don't get him. Now they wind up getting that 23 quarterback in Jaden Rashada. And, you know, I thought this was interesting too, Ben, as far as the timing, him committing right after the Georgia visit, because, you know, I thought there was a real possibility he'd go check out some other schools, a school like Auburn, where, you know, conceivably you got a better shot at starting at Auburn this fall than you do at Georgia. But I think Georgia deserves a lot of kudos and what they've done to sell Jaden Rashada on Georgia. And, you know, he came off that visit and decided, you know, I don't need to look anywhere else. To me, that spoke real volumes about what this visit meant to Rashada and his family, that as soon as they were done, they said, all right, we don't really have to look anywhere else. We're going to go to Georgia.
Well, and I mean, to that point, like, I think there were probably a few playing opportunities where they would he would have had more of a chance to play this season. And it goes back to what I said about, like, where do his priorities lie and what the narratives around it are. It's like, he wouldn't be coming to Georgia over other places if his priorities are what people think that they are, because he knows assuming there's no injuries, he's not coming to Georgia to play this season. He knows that. Everyone knows that. Now, might there be some garbage time opportunities? Sure. I mean, that'll be the conversation that everyone will get excited about this fall, is in garbage time situations, who comes in, Gunner or Jaden, and what does that look like? And I think it's, you know, we don't need to get into all that right now. We can talk about it when the time comes. But again, I think it just shows he is not focused on the 2024 season with this career move.
High upside as far as Georgia goes. I mean, at the very least, you got a big piece in terms of depth. And, you know, the upside is he could be your future starting quarterback. So I love the move from Georgia's standpoint. Even if it doesn't work out, you know, you went and got that other scholarship guy, and he's got a lot of potential. He was a four-star for a reason. And I think there's a lot to be excited about with Jaden Rashada. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk about a little bit more roster news for Georgia, made for a few interesting days with one of Georgia's defensive linemen, and also talk about the first round of the NFL draft, which kicks off on Thursday night.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben, we've seen the transfer portal create some very interesting sagas, and it's really, I think, happened more so in the last year or so. And we saw that on Wednesday night with Georgia defensive lineman Christian Miller. Miller announces on social media that he's going to enter the transfer portal. We write a story, I know everyone else did, you know, following and seeing what that means for Georgia. And then Thursday morning, an about face. Christian Miller is going to stay at Georgia. He announced his intentions to stay put. This is not the first time this has happened with a Georgia player. We saw it with cornerback Daniel Harris right around the Orange Bowl practices. We saw it with Julian Humphrey, another cornerback, in early January. What's your read on how that situation with Christian Miller played out? I know a lot of fans were upset Wednesday night, and you know they're changing their tune Thursday, seeing that Christian Miller's going to stay around and still be a dog.
Yeah, it's... whether people like it or not, it's the way of the world of college football these days. These are the types of things that are happening, you know, in the dark more than they are in the light. I mean, people are having these types of conversations on a regular basis, and it's just the way it is. When there's no set contracts, when there's no defined rule set in terms of when these types of conversations can and need to happen, and you've got multiple transfer windows where the guy where guys can do this, these types of things are going to happen. This isn't the first time we've seen it happen. I mean, we saw Daniel Harris enter the transfer portal. We saw Julian Humphrey be linked to the transfer portal in the previous window. And so for them to, you know, see it again in the spring period is not super surprising. I think in Christian Miller's case, it's a name that has come up at times throughout the spring, sort of wondering what his situation might be. I do think it's, I mean, it sounds stupid because 48 hours ago, he was fully a member of Georgia's football program and there weren't any public questions being asked about it necessarily. But I think it's a win for Georgia to hold on to its defensive line depth. I mean, I think that there had been questions in the last transfer portal window whether Georgia should pursue some from some defensive linemen. And they went after Xavier McLeod, obviously, but they even pursued a few other guys as well. And so I think there was a thought, even in this window, does Georgia need to look for more defensive linemen? And so potentially losing a guy like Christian Miller would have been a blow, and it would have made you need to second guess your roster management on the defensive side of the ball and whether you needed to go get another guy. But I think holding on to him was important. Again, I don't know any of the details of what was going on behind the scenes last night and this morning that, you know, made him need to be swayed one way or the other. But I think what's ultimately important is that Georgia held on to a depth piece in on the defensive line and somebody that I think could emerge into sort of, you know, starter minutes, if you will, this year or next year, just depending on, you know, injury and availability and how everyone progresses. I mean, he's someone that definitely showed flashes at the end of last year, especially in the SEC championship game.
Definitely. And I think it's a situation with Christian Miller. You want that guy. I thought he flashed toward the end of last season, and I thought it was really disappointing that he couldn't play in that Orange Bowl because I think he could have gotten significant snaps. He was dealing with an injury at that time. And, yeah, it's the way of the world. And you go look at the message board, there were people that were, you know, frustrated and, oh, I hate college football. I hate what college football has become. They'll be watching on Saturdays this fall. I know that's the case. And I understand the frustration from a fan standpoint. But, you know, guys like Christian Miller, they got to look out for themselves. And if they thought, you know, going in the portal was the right idea. That's what he did. And I would imagine that the coaches reached out and sort of convinced him it was in his best interest to stay put. But again, like you said, Ben, I think this is big for Georgia. I like what we've seen from Christian Miller. He's not a guy that I think is going to start this season, but I do think, you know, we see them rotate defensive linemen in pretty regularly. He's going to play a good bit, and I think he's done a good job as a run stopper. Want to see him continue improving as a pass rusher, but they're in a much better situation with Miller deciding, you know what, I'm going to stay put, compared to if he had stuck with his initial decision. I think Georgia might have had to go into the portal, try to add some more depth. I think they feel better with where their defensive line sits with the fact that Miller's staying put.
For sure.
All right, tonight is the night, the opening round of the NFL draft. Getting excited and getting ready to see where some of these Georgia players wind up going by the time the 32nd pick is officially in. Just for starters, Ben, what's the setup tonight? How are you going to watch this opening night of the draft? Got any go-tos, any snacks that you're going to have at the place?
Well, I'm out of town, so I might actually go hit up some kind of sports bar or something like that and watch it from there. I typically like to just sort of be in the confines of my own home, just kind of hanging out, watching everything, but I feel like that might not be as realistic for me today, so I might just go and watch it with a few friends that I don't know.
That's a good move. We did Buffalo Wild Wings. This was when I was still working in Columbus. I remember going to Auburn and meeting some friends. It's a fun environment, especially, you know, you kind of take for granted that people around you, you know, you would think like, you know, around Auburn, probably Saints fans, Falcons fans. But like when you go out to a sports bar, you got a good feel of a lot of different teams, and it makes for a pretty fun time, especially, you know, if you're like me with the Falcons, like I'm dead inside. Whatever they do, it's not going to affect me. But you get to see how other people are reacting and the cheers and the boos. So I don't think that's the worst thing in the world to be out of town and go check it out at a sports bar. So looking at it from the Georgia standpoint, I would feel pretty comfortable in saying there's two locks for the first round. I would definitely say that with Brock Bowers. I feel pretty good about Amarius Mims. You could maybe see him drop out, but I think there's going to be a run on offensive tackles in this draft. If I told you that a third Georgia player goes in the first round, who do you think that would be, and why do you think they'd be able to sneak into that first round?
Well, anybody that listens to this probably isn't going to be surprised by my answer, but I feel like it would probably be Ladd McConkey sneaking into the end of the first round. I hope that happens, not just because it would mean that he was a first rounder. I think that it would pair him with a better situation. I mean, there's a lot of teams in the back, you know, part of that first round that would like a high upside wide receiver that are already winning a lot of football games. And so I think there's a couple spots. I mean, Green Bay, Buffalo, Cincinnati, where if he gets in a situation with a quarterback that I think a young quarterback, they could develop that rapport. I think there's a lot of hope there. So I hope for him that he ends up at the end of the first round. I also just think that he's the most likely because I think there's going to be, there's that upper tier of wide receivers with Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, and Marvin Harrison Jr. I would expect the three of those guys to probably be gone in the top, 10, 12 picks. And then I think that at the end of the first round, you're going to see a little bit of a run on wide receivers based on who those teams like, because if you're at the end of the first round and you need a wide receiver, by the time you get around to the end of the second round, a lot of those, top 8-10 wide receivers are all going to be off the board. So I think that Ladd would be the most likely to end up in the first round. You know, if we were talking about this 2 months ago, 3 months ago, I probably would have said Kamari Lassiter just because I thought the film spoke for itself there. But I think that there's probably been some second guessing with his testing times and things like that, which right or wrong, that's probably just the way it's going to go.
Right. And I think Ladd is the very obvious. If you say there is a third that's going to be picked, like you said, I mean, Kamari, I think he's going to be successful wherever he ends up. I've seen a lot of mocks checking this morning, just getting ready for tonight, linking in with the Atlanta Falcons in the second round. And as a Falcons fan, I'd love to see that with Kamari. But
good pick, Terry. Good pick.
Yeah, that would be good. I'd be down with that. But I have seen some mocks linking Ladd McConkey to the Bills. I think that would be a great pickup. I projected him to the Panthers in early in the second round, but I think there is a situation where he could slide into the first round. And I think, like you said, there's some good teams sitting there that would make for a great home for him. And I think wherever he goes, he's going to go make plays.
Yep, I completely agree.
Before we get out of here, Georgia men's basketball minute. Georgia picked up another transfer. Appalachian State forward Justin Abson, the 6'9", 235-pound Abson, is coming over. He is the defending Sun Belt Defensive Player of the Year. I think this is huge for Georgia in terms of defending the rim, getting that defensive presence. I believe at this point, Georgia's still got six scholarships open, so they're still working to fill some spots. But I think this is a huge pickup. They still got a lot of other irons in the fire. I like what I'm hearing about some of the guys they're going after. Santo Cyril, who was a Kentucky signee, a center that seems like it's trending in the right direction for Georgia. And that, to me, is Georgia's biggest position of need right now at center. So if they get him, I think that that's a home run, especially with what they've been able to keep. But getting Abson in the fold, don't want to overlook that. I think that was a really good addition. And, you know, it's slowly coming together for Georgia. I think that they're still, again, with the number of scholarships they have left, they've still got work to do. But I like the way this thing is trending. I like what they picked up to this point in the offseason.
Yeah, I'll admit I haven't done my full tape study on some of these incoming transfer guys, but just based on the initial things I've seen, like, it feels like Mike White's putting a roster together, and I don't need to repeat what I said last time in terms of this being sort of the turning point year for him. But, you know, it seems like he's putting a good roster together, and I think the crazy thing about college basketball now is just you basically are watching an entire new team put together on an annual basis, and in basketball, that's really, really hard to do.
Abson, third nationally in blocks per game last season. He was the only Division I player to record at least six blocks five different times. That's the kind of defense that Georgia could use in 24-25. Well, we are going to wrap up the episode right there. I appreciate everyone who tuned in on very short notice with Jaden Rashada committing. Thanks to everyone who is listening to this after the fact. Be sure to like and follow this podcast wherever you are listening. Make sure that you give us 5 stars. Let us know how you think we're doing. Leave us a review. We certainly appreciate that. Go subscribe to Dogs 24/7. We are going to have a ton of content over the NFL draft these next few days, including all of the Jaden Rashada talk, including all the men's basketball talk. Going to be doing some breakdowns of those guys next week. Also, go to Dogs 24/7 on YouTube. Got all these podcast episodes. Still got all the videos from the spring. We'll also have YouTube shorts there. And go over to Dogs 24/7 on TikTok. Got all the videos there, and we'll have more to come in the days to come. So for Ben Wolk, I am Jordan Hill. Until next time, take care, everybody.